Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is Revelation 12. Verses 1 through 17. Revelation 12, 1 through 17. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. You brought all things into being. In you all things hold together. We rejoice in your love that created us, redeemed us, and renews us. We thank you for the grace of your Son and your continued blessing by your Spirit. As we come before you, teach us from your word. Give us understanding of your truth. Build us up that we may better love you and serve you in your kingdom. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Last Lord's Day, we heard from God's Word from Luke 2 on the promised birth of John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel told a waiting childless couple that their son would prepare the way for the coming Messiah. God's people were waiting for their deliverer, and he was coming. So in Advent, we remember the waiting. Zechariah and Elizabeth weren't the only waiters. The faithful among the nation of Israel also waited. Remembering God's promises, they clung to the hope that he would come, that he would come in judgment, that he would come to deliver. Many were looking forward to the coming of the king. But we hear this morning in Revelation 12, we hear that there was one who was not looking forward to his coming. Satan was not joyfully anticipating the arrival of the Christ. This was a coming that Satan had known all about, and he had made considerable efforts to prevent. But like it or not, the Son was coming to fulfill God's promises. Now, this coming was first promised in the garden. After the serpent tempted Eve to sin and Adam fell, God made a promise. Genesis 3:15, God promised the serpent. He told the serpent, "I will put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, serpent, and you shall bruise his heel." It's a great memory verse to teach the children, Genesis 3:15. If you haven't, you ought. So as we read the pages of the Old Testament, we see example after example after example of the battle between the seeds. We see Satan engaged in warfare to defeat the seed. One example of that is David versus Goliath. David, the seed of the woman, Goliath, the seed of the serpent, engaged in warfare. We see Satan try to pollute the seed through intermarriage. In Genesis 12, Pharaoh tries to take Sarai, Abram's wife. And Satan just tried to outright murder the seed. In Exodus, Pharaoh took the baby boys of Israel and threw them into the Nile. We should not be surprised that Satan would go to such extremes of wickedness to accomplish his ends. And Satan's ends are to frustrate and to cancel out the promises of God, especially Genesis 3:15. But we should also recognize that Satan's efforts were a matter of self-preservation. God promised, his promise was to the serpent, that the seed, Jesus, would crush his head. So the arrival of the Son of God, that promised Redeemer, that promised seed, in his first advent, was a direct challenge to Satan and all his work. Now, Satan had accomplished much. The nations were darkened. The nations were enslaved in sin. Even Israel, God's seed, was full of covenant breakers. The faithful remnant was small. If you lived in the first century, you might have thought, God hasn't made any promises in a while. He must not keep his promises. And this is what happens when we think God is silent. We begin to doubt. We question his promises. Is this seed going to come or not? Is this head crusher, is he going to be born or not? We begin to doubt. We begin to question. So God makes us wait. And our faith is tested. Will we give in? Will the Father really send the Son? Will he really crush the head? Is God really in control of all of this? The waiting is a testing. And God strengthens us through the waiting. But he does fulfill his promises. And he did send his son. The son was born of the woman. Jesus was and is the promised seed. He is the seed in whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. And he is the seed who crushed the head of the serpent. Try as he might, Satan knows God keeps his promises. He knew he had a head crushing coming. So what could he do to stop it? He'd try anything. He could even try killing all the baby boys of Israel again with King Herod. Maybe he could flush out the son that way. Didn't work. So throughout the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, we see example after example after example of Satan's flailing attempts to stop God's plan. The coming of the Son in the flesh stirred up Satan and his armies for a major conflict. When you read your Old Testament, how much activity do you see of demons? How much do you read about demons in the Old Testament? Not very much. How much in the Gospels? They're everywhere. Why is that? Because the advent of the Son of God was a kingdom invasion. The Son of God came as the coming king. And with the king comes the kingdom. So in one corner, there was the kingdom of darkness with the ruler of the world, Satan. In the other corner, we have the kingdom of God's marvelous light. And only one kingdom could stand. Now, we know how this story was going to go. We read it in the text of Holy Scripture. God knew how it was going to play out. Even Satan kind of knew, but still tried to stop it. But if you lived in the first, if you lived in the days of Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry, you ought to have known as well. You had God's promises. And Jesus told them in his earthly ministry what would happen. For example, in John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now, that may sound like trash talking. It may sound like Jesus calling his shot. But in reality, he's just repeating the promise. His promise. The promise he would fulfill. And this is what Satan knew. He tried to prevent it. And we hear it described in another manner in Revelation 12. Now, we can read our Old Testament. We can read Matthew 2 with Herod and the baby boys of Israel. We can read the different accounts of Satan, his attempt to stop the birth of the seed. Because the coming of the king is the coming of victory. Victory for the king and victory for the kingdom. So in Revelation 12, verses 2 through 4, we hear, "Then being with child, the woman cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great, fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." This last part is the birth of the Son. But in these verses, we have the entire history of the seed warfare throughout the Old Covenant. The woman was in pain because of the enmity, because of the warfare. But it climaxes, that warfare climaxes in the advent of the Son of God. And John, by the Spirit, describes the scene as a dragon seeking to stop and devour the Son. Now, Scripture uses different labels for different roles Satan seeks to fulfill. God has different names that highlight different qualities or different attributes. So Satan has different names that identify an activity he's seeking to carry out. So here, he's described as a dragon, and a dragon devours. He's called the serpent. The serpent deceives. He's called Satan. Satan is an adversary. Verse 5, the woman bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Try as he might, the dragon failed. Jesus was born. Jesus preached. Jesus healed. He casted out demons. He cleansed synagogues and the temple courts. His battle was waged throughout his earthly ministry, and it culminated at the cross, where through his death, he defeated the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, the Son always had victory in mind. He was on a collision course with Satan and his demons. And Jesus took on that confrontation. Satan knew it. He tried to strive against Jesus. He tried to murder child Jesus. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And the Son of God revealed over and over and over again that this was a mismatch. You know, we'll hear talk about the battle of good and evil. Two equal cosmic forces having a back and forth in the heavenlies and having a back and forth on earth. Well, good did battle evil, but this was no equal battle of the titans. God used Satan to accomplish his ends. Read verse 5. This is referencing a psalm. Anybody know what psalm that is? Caleb? What psalm is that from? Psalm 2. Where have you heard Psalm 2 today? We sang it. Remember Psalm 2. When the wicked strive against God, what does God do? He laughs. When the wicked strive against God, he laughs. He holds them in derision. Jesus engaging and battling Satan was a one-sided affair. God laughs. And in verse 5, essentially communicates this one-sided affair. We read, he was born. He came to rule. He ascended to the throne. That's it. That's all that's described there. He was born. He came to rule. He ascended to the throne. Done deal. Now, one theologian describes this as the whole goal of the incarnation was the throne. The incarnation was unto the ascension, and there was nothing Satan could do about it. The Son of God came. He came to rule. He came to win the victory, and he came to bind. The Son of God came to bind. We sang last Lord's Day, and it was the offertory this morning. O come, Emmanuel. And one of the verses reads, O come, O King of nations, bind in one the hearts of mankind. Boys and girls, who is that one? God. God the Son, Jesus. Bind in one the hearts of mankind. We sing of binding at Advent. Coming to bind. If you're a conquering king, a strong man, if you will, what do you do to your enemy? You dominate him. You clean house. And if you're going to clean house, what do you need to do first? You need to bind. Matthew 12, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Jesus was the stronger man who came to bind. Jesus was cleaning house in the Gospels. He was defeating Satan at every turn, preaching the kingdom, and Satan is looking around, what can I do? How can I stop this from happening? I know. I'll kill him. That'll do it. I'll kill the Son. I'll bite his heel. He who sits in the heavens laughs because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has victory in death and victory in resurrection. All authority in heaven and earth, and now ascension to the throne. And seated on his throne, God the Father gave Jesus the rod of iron to rule the nations. Old ruler was cast out, new ruler installed. Out with the old creation, in with the new. The advent of the Son of God was the coming of the kingdom. A new administration was installed. Satan lost his power, he lost his influence, and he lost his temporary privileges. We can see in Revelation 12 why he's so raging mad. So the rest of the chapter of Revelation 12 describes Satan's last-ditch efforts to confound and stop God's plan. Boys and girls, can Satan stop God's plan? No. So if he can't stop it, he'll do whatever he can to harm the people of God. If you can't reach God to strike him, you strike someone else at your level. So here in verse 11, the children of the woman overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, that they did not love their lives to the death. This is irrationally futile on Satan's part. To strike the seed of the woman, to strike the children of God. What happens if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies and it's all alone? It bears no fruit. But if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. And that is why the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. If Satan attacks the people of God, the church grows. It's irrationally futile on Satan's part. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. More persecution. More persecution in the early church during the first century. Satan's time was running out. He knew it. And when we read our New Testament of the dangers of Satan and the harm he inflicts, this was transitional stuff in the kingdom of God. This was during the short time that God granted him until the next phase of the kingdom. More on that in a moment. The last verse in this chapter, verse 17. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this is both a warning and a source of comfort. Satan doesn't waste time going after those who are already unfaithful. If you wantonly break the commandments and you live in sin, Satan's not interested in you. If you abandon the faith and you give in to cowardness, his work is done with you. But if you keep the commandments of God, if you hold to the testimony of Jesus, he sets his sights on you. You are someone to conquer. You are someone to devour. You're a project for him. Faithless worldly people, not worth his time. He's already got you. Faithful covenant keepers, he's coming after you. But here's the change in the transition. In the kingdom of God now, Satan is bound. He actually can't touch you. He can't harm you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the evil one does not touch him. If you are born of God, the evil one does not touch you. Jesus came and he bound. He bound Satan for the sake of the kingdom, and Jesus binds us for the sake of the kingdom. We are no longer bound to sin and death. We are now slaves to righteousness. We are bound to the king. Satan can't touch us. He can't even bring an accusation against us. Jesus shuts him up. What can Satan do? He can tempt. He can tempt us. That's it. That's the only way he can overcome us. Now, we can re-enslave ourselves to him because we are slaves to the one we obey. If we forsake Jesus, our covenant Lord, and we rebind ourselves to Satan, well then, he wins. He conquers, he devours. But if we keep to the testimony of Jesus and we obey his commandments, we need not worry about that weak and chained up devil. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus we live and we continue the warfare against Satan. He is considerably weakened these days. Now it may appear that he's gaining ground. It may appear that evil is overcoming the reign of Jesus the King. That is if we view the world with fleshly eyes. Remember, how does God respond when the wicked strive against him? He laughs. He holds them in derision. Satan may think the world is plunging into deeper and deeper darkness. Satan may think that the kingdom of God is receding off the earth, that Satan is finally making headway, that he might actually win. God laughs. Is God really in control? Will he really crush the serpent under our feet? You know, it's almost as though God's been silent for a long time. Will we believe his promises? We go forth with the victorious message, Jesus is Lord. Satan and his demons, they've been cast out of heaven. There's human flesh in heaven now. Human beings rule over creation. So what do we do? How do we conquer? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of our testimony, that we don't love our lives more than death, that we keep the commandments of God and we cling to Jesus Christ. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of work to be done, make no mistake, but it's a cleanup operation. We're mopping up the world with the finished work of Jesus Christ. The God-man, the Son of God, he reigns from his throne in heaven over all the world. We go forth and we testify to this reality. We proclaim it in word and deed. We're not trying to convince everybody so that it happens. It's already happened and we make it known. It's a war of words. The gospel message of the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, be comforted. All the evil we see in the world is part of the plan. God uses it to accomplish his ends. Even the wicked persecution of the church. Every martyr is a seed planted in the ground to multiply and grow the church. So be strengthened that Satan can't touch you. He's tied up in the yard. He's pathetic. His reach is limited. So go forth in faith and confidence that you serve the rod-swinging King of the nations. Our task is to make known the reality of the situation now through holy worship and through faithful living. Satan hates it, but he can't do anything about it. Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the victory of your Son. We praise you for his love and coming in the flesh, and your grace in his being caught up to his throne. We take great comfort that he is ruling the nations with a rod of iron. We are grateful for his finished work, that we need not fear the devil, nor are enslaved in sinful service to him. Strengthen us all by your Spirit to believe your word, to go forth in victory, proclaiming the glory of your kingdom. Send us forth in your grace, crushing the serpent and his works under our feet. Keep us in your commandments and bind us to the testimony of your Son. For his sake we pray. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.